You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
Today, so we're going to go on the Word today as we continue our Mountains and Valleys, Ups and Downs series. We're going to go to the Valley and Mountain of Transition. Transitioning today, leadership, and we'll go to the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at a verse there, and then chapter 34 and a little bit of Joshua 1 as we think about transition. What's going on in these texts that we're going to read for you in just a minute is that after a whole generation of leadership, Moses is now saying goodbye to the people of Israel, and he's going to die. How many of you know that that group of people, they watched all of their parents and grandparents die? Moses has been the only leader they have ever known. The Moses who brought him out of Egypt, did all the, you know, was responsible for turning the water into blood and the locusts and all the stuff, and brought water out of the rock in the wilderness and bread from heaven. That Moses, are you with me? In fact, it says in Deuteronomy 34, we'll see it in a minute, there's never been a prophet like Moses. And yet Moses is now giving them a goodbye. He's saying his goodbye to them, and they are transitioning in this time of leadership to a new leader whose name is Joshua. That's the context in which we're reading Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, after reviewing God's requirements with them and calling them to obedience, he says in verse 20, "Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. And then you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give their ancestors," etc., etc. Choose life, he says in the verse before that. I hope you'll choose. I'm giving you life and death choice here. Choose to love the Lord. He's your life. He is the one. Chapter 31, it says, "When Moses had finished saying these things to all the people of Israel, he said, 'I am now 120 years old and no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me that I will not cross the Jordan River.'" Now, when he says, "I'm not able," he's not saying he is not physically or mentally capable of leading them. The next phrase tells us why he's not able. "I'm not able because the Lord has determined that I will no longer lead you." And we'll talk about that in just a second. Verse 3, "The Lord himself will cross over ahead of you, and he will destroy the nations living there. And you will take possession of their land. Joshua is your new leader, and he will go with you, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites." As you look at your past, God delivered, but now through Joshua, he's going to deliver. Verse 5, "The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you will deal with them as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. The Lord your God will go ahead of you. He will not forsake you." He's not going to abandon you during this time of transition. It says in chapter 34, after some time of worship and after some time of prayer, Moses then it says this in chapter 34, verse 1, "Moses went to Mount Nebo," just a little northeast of the Dead Sea down in the southern part of Israel. "He went to Mount Nebo, and from the plains of Moab, where he was meeting with them, he climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from the Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land," that is the land of promise, the Canaan land. It describes that to us. In verse 4 it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I told them I would give it to their descendants. I have now allowed you to see it, but you will not enter the land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said, and he was buried. The Hebrew actually reads like this, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, died, and he, the Lord, buried him. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab, but to this day, no one knows the exact place because God didn't want them somehow worshiping at a shrine for Moses. And so the Lord protected them. Verse 7, Moses was 120 years old. However, his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. So he was physically capable, but by God's sovereign will, he did not enter the promised land, but the baton passes to Joshua. And the people of Israel mourned for 30 days. The customary period of mourning. And Joshua, full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the people of Israel obeyed him and did everything just as the Lord had commanded. And there's never been a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent Moses to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants, his entire land. And it was through Moses that the Lord demonstrated his mighty power and terrifying acts in the sight of Israel. But Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And he said, "Now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead the people across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving you." Verse 5, "No one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. Be strong and courageous." Well, how many of you know that during that time of transition, there was some emotion going on? Anybody was on? I mean, this generation, all they knew was the leadership of Moses. They didn't know anything else. And Moses had been the one who had been the strength and the guide and the leadership for them during this whole time. And there was some, I'm sure, fear, wondering, what in the world is going to happen now? What can Joshua handle it? Will we be able to go forward? And so in this time of transition, there's lots of emotion and wondering and questions. What I've discovered at this point is that life is full of changes. Anybody besides me notice this? Change seems to be constant. It's always coming our way, and it causes us to have to adjust our plans and our ideas and our expectations as change begins to come. It may be the loss of some physical capability. It may have something to do with our age. It may have something to do with the culture in which we live. Something happens in the culture. There's a change, and all of a sudden we have to change because of what goes on in the culture. It may be a financial loss. It could be the death of a loved one or a pet or someone that we hold very dear in our hearts. There's all kinds of change that seems to keep coming our way, or even as us as a church family are in this text, the change of leadership at times. It begins to happen, and we didn't see things coming. We didn't expect it, and yet the change comes our way. And that causes some emotion. And what I've discovered is that change comes whether I'm wanting it to or not. And what I've also discovered is just when I think I've got everything exactly where I wanted it to be, change happens. Somebody once said, "The only thing that's constant is change." Well, it certainly seems that way, and I can tell you this, however, that as followers of Jesus Christ, if you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Him as your Savior and as the Lord of your life, I can tell you that there's at least four other things that never, ever change for those of us who are following Christ. They're represented by this nation of Israel and what God was doing with them. First of all, their identity and their security did not change. And as you and I are following Christ, we go through the changes of life, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's leadership, whether it's some other change that's happening. This I know, your and my identity and our security in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ never, ever changes, no matter what else does in this life. We are who we are in Christ, and we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Even though Moses was leaving them, they were still the people of covenant. They were still the people of God. They were still the ones who God had called. God was still at work with them. And their identity and their security had not changed one little bit whatsoever. That's because God's identity has not changed. It's because God's character does not change. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13:8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that met me as a 12-year-old boy in the water baptism tank and came upon me with the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Jesus is anointing me today. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and He will be tomorrow. His character does not change. The Bible says in James 1:17 that our God's character, He is not changing like shifting shadows. I don't know if you've noticed, but the shadows are different now than they were in the middle of June. Are you with me? Oh, but God never, ever changes. He is always loving, always kind, always just, always merciful, always forgiving, always fair, always holy, always right. He never changes. His character, I can always count on God to be exactly who He is in every circumstance, situation, transition, problem, and challenge of life. My God is the same at all times. And because of that, my identity and security in Him does not change. Several years ago, we were youth pastors at a church in Toledo, Ohio. Toledo, Ohio was very dependent at that time on the automobile industry. There was a man in the church who had been working at a particular job for over 40-plus years. He put the same bolt on the same place in the same machine for over 40 years, got up and went to work. I would have gone crazy personally, but that was the man's identity. It was his whole sense of life was doing that job right up until the plant closed. And the man fell apart. He was a mess because he had wrapped up his whole sense of identity, his whole sense of worth, his whole sense of who he was, his whole sense of security about what would happen with him financially. It was all rooted in the automobile industry and in that job rather than in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was a Christian. But see, when I determine to root my life in Christ, when I give my life fully to the Lord, the God who never changes, the God who's always the same, then my identity does not change. I am still a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I love 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, one of my favorite verses. In the old Bible, it reads like this, "Behold, what manner of love." How does it read in the New Living? Give us the New Living Translation there. "See how very much our Father loves us. Behold, what manner of love. For He has called us His children, and that is what we are." We are His children, born of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit having come into our lives, and that identity doesn't change. And because we're His children, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And because we're His children, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And no matter what happens in my life, good, bad, or indifferent, I am a temple of the Spirit of God. I'm a part of the body of Christ. I am important and valuable to the Lord and to His kingdom. No matter what my job, no matter where I'm at, no matter what's going on, I am His child, I will forever be His child, and I am His temple, and the Spirit of God lives within me, hallelujah, today. Oh, I've been through enough transitions at this point in my life. I don't look forward to any more, but I can tell you they're going to come. My dad, 98 years old, I am using this pulpit today. You like this pulpit? My dad built that. using that in honor of my dad today. At 98 years old, he has gone from horse and buggy to where we are today. Are you with me? How many of you know he's seen some transitions? Getting ready to make his next one. Transitioning to glory. You and I, no matter what we go through, we can rest in the character and the nature of God, that our identity, listen, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, as Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Nothing separates us from his love. Sometimes people can pull their love away from us. We don't always get loved by people as we should, but God always consistently loves us. We can always count on him. We are always more than conquerors. How do you be more than a conqueror? What's more than a conqueror? Well, how many of you know there's a big difference by winning a game by a point and winning a game by like 100 points? It's a much different situation. Thank you. Do I sound like I need that? I don't know. You were just told to bring it, right? Okay. You always follow the instructions, you know. It's there. Where was I and what was I saying? Listen, so when you face transition in your life, and you will or probably are going through them, you are still a child of God. Remind yourself, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And because we're his children, and because we are the temple of the Lord, our identity, our security, he has got us, we're in his hands. We can look back and we can look forward with that reality. I am secure. I am important in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. But the second thing that did not change for them and does not change for us, not only their identity and security, but their purpose never changed. Their purpose didn't change. Moses' death didn't bring a change in Israel's purpose or their mission or their calling one little bit. They were still the people of God. They were still a kingdom of priests. They were still to go into that nation and reveal the character and the heart of God and the ways of God to the pagan nations around them. They were still on his mission to take possession of the land and purge it and to bring holiness so that they could demonstrate to the nations what people look like who are loving God. I just want to say that again. Their purpose hadn't changed. God had called them to live their lives in their families and as a nation in a way that demonstrated the love and the law and the heart and the character of God. And that purpose did not change, even though their leadership changed. They were to demonstrate and reveal the nature of God so that the nations could come to know him. And can I tell you this morning that as followers of Christ, our purpose has not changed either. Our purpose is the same. We are the holy people of God. We are the kingdom of spiritual priests. We are a holy nation. We are to be demonstrating the love of God, the character of God, the law of God in the way we live and speak and relate to one another and to the world around us. We are the salt and the light of the earth. Salt always purifies. It always preserves. When salt is put on an open wing, bless God, it stings a little bit. Are you out there this morning? Oh, it doesn't always feel good when that salt is poured on that wound. But how many of you know it brings healing? Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. In other words, as you live your life as followers of Christ and the Holy Spirit is working in you, you're going to be like the salt that preserves the rotten nature of the culture around you. And it's going to sting other people who don't know the Lord because they're going to be convicted of their sin by how you live if you're following Christ. But that's what you're called to. And you're called to be the light of the world. That means you're going to shine in dark places in this culture. And whenever you're in a really dark place and you're there for a long time and you walk out into bright sunshine, your first reaction is, ooh, ah. And that's exactly what happens when Christians live out their faith in Christ around a dark, dark world. But when Christians don't live out their life in a dark world, nobody's eyes are flinching, nobody's getting any sting, nobody's being convicted. Why? Because Christians are not living the salt, light life that they're supposed to be living. And when that happens, our purpose is not fulfilled, even though it has not changed. Our purpose has not changed today. We are called to be the people of God in a dark, wicked culture, living lives that are so radically different than the world around us. People can't help but know and sense there's a holy, righteous, just, loving, pure, compassionate God who is at work within us and through us. And it will convict them and sting them and rend their hearts when you and I are fulfilling our purpose. Our purpose has not changed. Israel was to go in and cleanse the land. And you and I don't do it with war, and we don't do it with weapons, and we don't do it by yelling at people and political marches. No, we do it on our knees through prayer, and we're filled with the compassion of Christ, and we break our hearts before the Lord, and we repent of our own wickedness, and we have compassion, and we, in humility, we say, God, help me, and God, help America. God, bring something, do something. Spirit of God, we've got to have renewal in this time because things are getting darker and darker, and somebody somewhere needs to stand up for Jesus Christ and be the salt and the light that's needed in this world. And you and I are that people. Our purpose has not changed. You know, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. Jesus said, if you think I came to do away with the law, you're mistaken. Jesus said, I didn't come, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled it. And he is fulfilling it. He fulfilled it by living it perfectly, lived the perfect life you and I can never live. And so he became the perfect sacrifice. Aren't you glad for that? But he also fulfilled it in the sense that he fulfilled all the prophecies and all the pictures, and he will fulfill them. But he fulfills the law in another way. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that we all love, there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Hallelujah. But we sometimes don't read the rest of those verses. The reason that's true is because the power of the Holy Spirit lives within us that we would be able to fulfill the law of God, not by rules, not by laws, but by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, convicting us and moving us and motivating us and showing us how to live for Christ. And because we render and yield to the Holy Spirit, we begin to say no to the flesh and live for the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit of God is working within us to fulfill the law of God, which he authored through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be the holy people of God. We are called to be different. We are called to sting. We are called to reveal. And that purpose has not changed in this generation. Ron and I were talking yesterday, and Ron said it, I think 60-something percent of America says, I'm a Christian. If 60% of America is a Christian, why is America getting darker and darker and darker? Because many of that 60% are not living in the light, not living as children of light, but following the ways of the world and yet not living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our purpose has not changed. Our lives may change. Our jobs may change. At some point somewhere in the future, I will no longer be a pastor. I will just be an old man. But my purpose will not have changed. My identity will not have changed. My security will not have changed. God has called me to be a light in this world. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared for us to do.
In John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said, just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. How many of you would say, I follow Jesus Christ? I'm a Christian. Let me see your hands. All right, listen to me. Jesus says, you are sent to this world just like he was, to seek and to save the lost. That's your job. That's your mission. That's your purpose. And if you're living for anything else short of that, you're missing it. You want your purpose fulfilled? Be all that Jesus wants you to be. Live for Christ. Live for holiness. Live for the name of the Lord. Be honor and representative of him, and the Lord will bless you, fulfill you, whether you get the job or the house or the car or the girl or the purpose or not. You'll get your fulfillment through the, oh my goodness. I didn't plan on preaching this morning, but I can't help it, Lord. Help me, Jesus. We have got to wake up. We've got to wake up. Wake us up, Holy Spirit. Ephesians, live as children of light. Wake up, O sleeper, that Christ can shine on you. Written to the church of Jesus Christ. We cannot excuse disobedience to the law of God anymore. We have been called to be the holy people of Christ. And if his Spirit is indeed living within us, if we're genuine believers in Christ, the Spirit of God is at work within us to will and to work according to God's good pleasure. That means we will have to say no to some things. We're going to have to discipline ourselves, and we're going to have to believe the Lord to be enough for us, where the world says we need something else. May the Lord help us, amen? Well, that wasn't exactly what I had in my notes, but yikes. All right, I got to quit quick, don't I? So, our identity and security never changes. Our purpose never changes. You go to work tomorrow morning, your purpose is the same as it was when you walked in the door here today. With me? Purpose has not changed. Number three, our resource does not change either. Even though the leadership was changing, God himself was Israel's resource for everything they needed for their life and for their mission and carrying out their purpose. Moses was moving on, the great leader that he had been, but God was not. And God was the resource, not Moses. He just chose to work through Moses for a period of time. You and I've got to get our eyes off of human leaders as if we human leaders are somehow the power. We're not. We are as weak and human as you are and frail. And we are not the ones. It is our Heavenly Father who is at work. And that resource is always available to you in every transition of life. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is always with us. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses. Look at it in the NIV, would you please? 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says in that verse that no matter how many promises God has made, how many of you know God's made a whole lot of promises? You out there? Look at it. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus. What does that mean? Well, how have you seen the commercials? Are you in? How many of you know you're either in or you're not? There is no in between. You're either in or you're not in. And the Bible says that when I truly repent, when I truly turn from a life of that I know is against the will of God, and I choose to trust in Christ and stop living like that, the Bible says I'm in, and Jesus cleanses me and works in me. And because Jesus is in me and I am in Christ,
All of the promises God has made to the righteous apply to me. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I blow it. Anybody besides me have to say, God, forgive me for acting, speaking, thinking, doing that. Anybody besides me ever have to say that? But thank God my identity and security doesn't change. In Christ, he is working in me. The whole point is that we sin, but as followers of Christ, we repent, we turn, we say, oh, Lord, and sometimes within 5 seconds after we sin. Can I get an amen here? Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have thought that, said that. I wish I hadn't have. Jesus, forgive me. There's a big difference between that and doing what I want to do, hardening my heart, and continuing to do something that I know the Lord doesn't want me to do and not having a repentant attitude over it. Those are two different things. I don't know how to preach this any straighter this morning. Lord, help me. Where was I? Sorry. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. That means that every promise in the book is mine. We used to sing that. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm living by his grace divine. Every promise in the book. So what does that mean? It means that when I go through that job transition and I have no idea how I'm going to provide for my family, the promise that my God will supply all of my needs according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus applies to me. It means when I'm going through that horrible divorce and I feel the pain of that, the promise in the word that says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will make all things work together for your good. That promise applies to me. I don't care how much I'm hurting. I don't care what the circumstance is. Bless God, he has not changed. His promise applies to me because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I've got to learn to live by the promises. Not by the pimples, not by the goosebumps. We're too inclined to live by the goosebumps. You live by the goosebumps, you can get goosebumps listening at stuff that's absolutely not true. But if you live by the promises, you live by the principles of the Word of God, you will realize that your purpose has not changed, your identity and security, your resource is the same. God is with you. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He is our refuge and our strength. He is my source and my healing and the promises of God. And I got a quick. Number four, not only is there these things true, but praise God, your destiny has not changed. The destiny of Israel had not changed. Their destiny as a people was to possess that land. And how many of you know that even though there's been ups and downs and they were transported out of that land, how many of you know Israel is a nation today and God is still working in the nation of Israel? The Bible declares that he is not finished with the people of Israel. There's coming a revival someday, Romans chapter 11, don't have time to read it, when by and large thousands and thousands of Jewish folks will turn to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and the majority will be saved. Why? Because God fulfills his promises. He's not forgotten the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is still at work in that nation. He's going to fulfill every promise, every prophecy. The lion and the lamb will lie down together. Little children will walk on this planet realistically and play with vipers and not be hurt. Why? Because God is God. He's in charge, and he's going to fulfill the destiny for which he has for this planet, for this universe, and for you and me. We will not change our destiny. I don't care how sick you are. I don't care what kind of cancer you've got. I don't care how dismal it may seem. Your destiny is still the same. Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he comes back, you and I get brand new bodies like the one Jesus had when he came out of the grave. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a brand new body. I'm going to have one that never dies. I'm going to have one that can show up in a room without walking through the door. Won't that be fun? And I'm still going to eat. Isn't that what Jesus did? Your destiny hasn't changed. You can die today. I may pass today.
My destiny is the same. I'm going to get a new glorious body. Not only that, it's going to be completely free from all sin, all desires that are against the will of God. Hallelujah. There's coming a day when I will no longer have wicked or evil thoughts or motives. No, I will see him. And when I see him, I will be like him. I will be fully like Christ, delivered from this body of death and delivered from all of the sin nature that comes with it. Praise the name of the Lord. And not only will that happen, I'll get a new body, I'll get a new spirit soul that's free from sin, and the devil will be banished forever. All of his demonic hosts, all of those who refuse to trust Christ, will live eternally in a world that is free from all evil, hurt, sin, cancer, devil. Praise God, we're going to live a life of eternity in paradise. Why? Because Jesus is Lord, that's why. Praise God. My identity has never changed. I've had to learn that through the years many times. I had to relearn it as I went through transitions. My security has never changed. My purpose has never changed. Through the job changes of life, the places I've lived, the purpose never changed. The challenges I've faced, the heartaches, the difficulties, the sicknesses, my purpose has never changed. Even in death, we will glorify the Lord if we continue to trust him. Our resource never changes. God is the same. He is always for us. He's never against us. He will provide all that we need if we'll learn to trust him. But we got to learn to trust him. And our destiny remains intact. The best is yet to come. I tell my dad that every time I talk to him. Dad, isn't it cool? Your best is yet to come. It's in front of you, Dad, not behind you. Your best is coming. You're going to Jesus. You're going to be in eternity with him. Why? Because my dad decided to believe the gospel. My dad decided to turn away from a lifestyle of disobedience to God. He decided to do his best to turn and believe Christ and say, I know I can't save myself. I need God's forgiveness. I've offended God. That's the difficulty, not how great my life is. And I need forgiveness, and I'm going to turn and trust in Christ. And when he did that, my dad became a child of God, secure in Christ. Pass that on to me. I'm so grateful. And today, if you're in this room and you've not yet trusted Christ, listen to what Moses said. I am placing before you life and death. Choose. Choose the Lord. Choose to love the Lord. He is your life. He is your destiny. Whether you choose him or not, he is the destiny of every person. And his heart calls out to you today. Would you trust Christ? Would you trust Christ? Would you turn from the life you're living? And would you trust Christ? That's the heart of God today. To save, to bless, to help you, make you one of his children. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.